I'd like to have you turn to a text that talks about the question of the Book of Life, although this first text in Exodus, the 32nd chapter and the 32nd verse, does not mention it. Do you remember the experience of Moses, where the children of Israel had sinned and God had said, look, let me destroy them, let them go, and I'll make of you a new beginning and a new nation, and you will be the promised people. And here's what Moses said. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt not forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. There's a book, friends, that has the names of God's people. And Moses was willing, if God would not forgive the children of Israel for the golden calf and gods of gold, friends, he said, look, I don't want to be a big leader. I don't want my descendants to be the promised people in the great nation that's going to receive the covenant. And if you can't forgive the sin of the children of Israel, he says, you blot me out of the book of life. Do you know what that means? That means he gives up his right to heaven. And God then has said what his policy is. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, how many of you haven't sinned against God? That's the way to get your name out of the Lamb's book of life, right? We're all sinners. So your name goes into the book of life, friends. And your name can go out of the book of life if you're a sinner. And what hope is there for us? If we sin against God, the name goes out. Well, let's take a look now at the other end of the Bible. No. Revelation. Third chapter, verse 15. And here we find how to keep your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the Book of Life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. Now, this is, in brief, in two texts, the doctrine of the investigative judgment. You've got your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you continue in sin, your name will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. But if you overcome, it will be left in the Lamb's Book of Life. Very simple. Now, there has to be, then, an investigation of the names in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? And it makes a difference, friends, whether you are continuing in sin or whether you overcome. Now, if I took the position that the evangelical Adventists take, that you cannot stop sinning, then, of course, I don't want an investigative judgment because my name will be blotted out if I cannot stop sinning. So along with their idea that you cannot stop sinning, they have to do away with the idea of an investigative judgment, because if they don't, friends, the people are all doomed to be lost who accept the idea that they cannot stop sinning. But if you believe that you can overcome, well, then your name will be left in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it's left in the Lamb's Book of Life, then, friends, you're going to be in a select group of people in the end. Would you like to read about them? Sure we can. Okay. So turn to Revelation 13. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. Whom? Well, the first beast of Revelation 13. Who's that? Well, it's the papacy, and indirectly it's the devil. Shall worship him whose names are where? Or not where? Who are not written in the what? The Lamb's Book of Life. Now, friends, the select group of people, and only those who overcome and whose names are left in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are the only ones that will not worship the devil. It is important that your name remain in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then we come to the fourth text. How do you get your name into the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you know it's there? I'll tell you, friends, I have actually cringed and felt like standing up and saying, no, it's not so, when I've been in Adventist meetings. And especially when it comes to a baptism or the appeal in evangelistic meetings, and I have heard the ministers say, as soon as you're baptized and voted into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, your name is inscribed in letters of gold in the Lamb's Book of Life. No, friends, that's not how you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I dare say that the majority of people who are members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church have never had their names put in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'd like to have you turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter, in the third verse. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are where? Now, friends, you have to be a fellow laborer, a true yoke fellow, and then you may be assured your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, if you want to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, it isn't a matter of baptism and being voted into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's a matter of accepting the invitation of Christ found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and the last three verses, where he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You must, friends, take the yoke of Christ if you hope to have your name inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. You must be a true yoke fellow, wearing the yoke of Jesus and no other yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now there are many other yokes in the Bible and in the world today. Back in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, and incidentally, in Series B, the same chapter that I preached from yesterday, the great controversy, it says the entire 58th chapter of Isaiah is the message for this time. That's on page 1. The whole of the 58th chapter of Isaiah is to be regarded as a message for this time, to be given over and over again, not just once. The part of the 58th chapter I want to talk to you about is the question of yokes. Because we get down to this sixth verse, and after saying that what the children of Israel were doing was not what God wanted, he says, this is what I want. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Because you cannot wear two yokes at a time. Now, friends, the yokes that Isaiah calls to be broken are the thing and the things that for many, many years I did not understand. And I do not believe that most people sitting here tonight understand them. I do not believe that the people of the denomination or the leadership in particular do understand what they are talking about and what this appeal means. Now, there is more than one yoke. There is the yoke of Christ. If you are wearing that yoke, then you may be positive and certain your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you are wearing any other yoke, you have no assurance at all that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you may say, well, I'm wearing the yoke of Christ. For years, friends, I thought I was wearing the yoke of Christ when I was not.